Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It is a great pleasure to have with us one of the country's preeminent investigative reporters, a man with a truly storied record in journalism, certainly in this city. He is John Solomon. He has worked over the years with the Associated Press, done some business with 60 Minutes, Washington Post, Washington Times, Circa, and is now with The Hill as the Vice President for Digital Video, and as a guy who seems to be full-time engaged in breaking story after story after story concerning the true case of collusion with the Russians, at least one of them, involving Hillary Clinton and the Clinton machine with the so-called Uranium One caper. John is almost incessantly on Hannity and in other outlets. We're always delighted to have him joining us from time to time for an update. And thanks so much for taking the time to do that today, John. Welcome.
Oh, glad to be with you.
So give us the latest, John. This story is just continuing to unfold as you and your partner, Sarah Carter, and others are drilling down on what is the truth that has been long concealed about Uranium One. I don't know that this audience needs to be told much about it, but if you want to start with a little background there, that would be great. But tell us what the latest is.
It is a complicated story, but I think when you boil it down, it's real simple, which is long before Russia tried to meddle in our election in 2016, they clearly meddled in our national nuclear security. And they did so by many ways. One, by compromising the trucking company that moved uranium in the United States, luring it into a kickback and bribery scheme, which put all of us at risk when you have a nuclear trucking company that is at the behest of the Russians and not the American interest. You have a series of transactions that the Obama administration gave to Russia under the idea that maybe Russia would suddenly turn around and be a really good guy with us and become friends. And that included giving them approval to buy Uranium One, but also giving them billions of dollars of new contracts.
Like 20%, we're told.
It was 20% at the time of the total thing. You know, over each year, that percentage changes depending on how much uranium is mined. But at the time it was approved, it controlled 20% of the current uranium reserves that were being taken out of the ground and turned into nuclear fuel.
And put the Russians into our nuclear energy fuel cycle as a result. Was that the ultimate objective, as you see it?
It was. In fact, one of the things that we saw in these FBI undercover documents, what the FBI figured out very early on was that Russia was embarking on a strategy in 2010 under Barack Obama, 2009, 2010 under Barack Obama, that was very similar to what they did to Eastern Europe back in the late 80s and 90s when they focused on creating a monopoly on natural gas that would make all of their neighbors reliant on Russian natural gas. And if you have that reliance, if you have that monopoly, you now have geopolitical strength to exert your influence. And we've seen that in Ukraine during the very difficult time a couple of years ago. What was the one thing they threatened to pull? Natural gas.
Right. No, energy is a weapon.
It is. And there was no doubt this was their strategy. The FBI had this one document. It was like a 20-page, here's the Russian uranium playbook for the next 5 years. Let's get global dominance of the uranium market. Let's make the United States more dependent on Russian uranium. And Barack Obama made a series of decisions, whether letting them buy Uranium One, taking them off the nuclear export list, signing a nuclear cooperation agreement with Russia, and then finally clearing the way for them to have direct relationships with American utilities and sell their Russian uranium to our utilities. And during that time, there's more than $10 billion worth of new business that the Russians got from nuclear reactors in the United States, large, huge infusion of new business with long 10-year tail to these contracts. All of that succeeded in making us more dependent on Russian nuclear fuel. And then after Vladimir Putin gets everything he wants out of Barack Obama, well, he goes and he invades Ukraine and the reset ends. And I think most strategists would agree that Vladimir Putin won this game pretty well.
Yeah. You've mentioned Obama repeatedly and all of that. The other focus of your investigation, of course, has been Hillary Clinton, her husband, Bill. Talk a little bit about what we've learned about the pay-to-play scheme that the Clintons benefited massively from in the course of fostering this, well, as I think you've correctly said, huge strategic liability for the United States.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So Hillary Clinton was the quarterback. As Barack Obama's Secretary of State, she was in charge of the reset, the Russian, and she is over in Russia meeting and laying the groundwork for these deals. Her department is being lobbied regularly, not only on the Uranium One purchase, but on all of these other changes that were going on. There's a lobbying firm hired in Washington, totally legally, called APCO. They were hired by the Russian Rosatom nuclear state-controlled agency, and they had lots of contacts. They chronicled them all at the State Department, at the Commerce Department, many different Obama agencies, a few people in Congress as well. And their job was to help clear the way for these billions of new nuclear contracts. They obviously did a good job because Russia got their work. In the course of that, they're also doing something that we couldn't see at the time. Remember, Mrs. Clinton has repeatedly said, I was the most transparent Secretary of State. I went above and beyond what the law required. I always disclosed anyone that was giving support to my husband's charitable contributions. Well, not quite, it turns out. So APCO is listed in the Clinton Foundation records as of giving $50,000 to what is known as the Clinton Global Initiative, one of the big charitable initiatives that Bill Clinton did. But that's a pittance to what APCO actually gave them. They gave them more than $1 million of free services, in-kind contributions, pro bono work. And that was not disclosed. When we confronted the foundation a few days ago, they're like, nope, we didn't disclose that. We'd made a decision that we weren't going to disclose in-kind contributions. So one of the key pillars of Hillary Clinton's longtime defense on this uranium controversy has been, I disclosed everything, and now we know that's not true. Another key defense had been, even though we approved the uranium, it never left the United States. And we disproved that a month ago when we came up with a license showing the Obama administration allowed it to go to Canada, Europe, and Asia. And the third defense was there was no national security reason at the time to deny Russia the right to buy the uranium or to enter into these contracts. And we now know that not to be true, too, because the FBI had evidence that Rosatom, the very beneficiary of all these decisions, had been engaged in a serious criminal enterprise, a racket tiering scheme, bribery, kickbacks, extortion, and money laundering. And so the three key pillars of what Hillary Clinton originally said about this case, they've all been eroded by the facts that we've been able to uncover.
And Rosatom, as we were discussing with Mark Schneider before, is part of a very important nuclear weapons program inside the former Soviet Union. So, I mean, you can't argue that this doesn't have national security implications if they're a major beneficiary of all this.
It's also the arm that was dealing with Iran on the reactor in Iran that, you know, Iran and Russia claim was peaceful. But we can tell you from the reporting we've done the last few weeks, the FBI wasn't so convinced that reactor was a peaceful enterprise in Iran. So they're the people that did that. They were also, Rosatom was a company that ran Chernobyl.
Yeah. And John Solomon, I mean, it goes without saying, but you have documented it to a fairly well that the Clintons were enriched to the tune of something on the order of $145 million beyond all of that. So, I mean, it's the pay-to-play scheme just kept on going. Let me ask you very quickly, John, lastly, one of the checks in the system that is supposed to prevent these sorts of threats to our national security, of course, is this entity called the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And I just wonder, can you shed any light on how many of the, I think it's 9 cabinet officers involved in that process would have been aware of what the FBI was finding and the national security problems of this and seemingly turned a blind eye to let this deal go through?
That is the most important question that Congress is now investigating. Did CFIUS know or not know in real time in 2009 that Rosatom, about to buy Uranium One, about to get these other great decisions, was engaged in criminal activity of the sort that we now know existed? And here's what our reporting indicates to date. There's no doubt the FBI knew. I think there's a high probability that senior Justice Department officials knew. It's not clear that Attorney General Holder knew, but we definitely know people in the National Security Division of the Justice Department knew. And the question is, what did they do with that information? And then, according to the informant's lawyer, Victoria Tensing, for the undercover informant Bill Campbell, Campbell was told twice as an informant that his information had made it all the way to President Obama in the presidential daily briefing. Congress is going to try to confirm that. If it turns out that President Obama knew of this criminal activity by Rosatom before CFIUS made the decision, that's going to be a really important revelation and something that we're all going to want to know a lot more about. If CFIUS didn't know, it's a failure in the system, right? If the FBI kept it to itself or Justice, they kept it to itself. No matter which way this answer comes down, it's going to be disturbing to the American people.
I should think. John, your reporting at The Hill is incredibly appreciated. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, and I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Next up, we will be speaking with Bill Gertz, a former colleague of John Solomon's from the Washington Times, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.